would have to face the reporters. There was no way around it. "You want me to run interference for you?" Tenney asked gruffly as they trudged toward the iron gates. Dan almost grinned. Tenney was built like a football guard, not all that big, but just as burly. Dan pictured the engineer knocking down reporters like a bowling ball going through ten pins. "No," he answered, looking at the little crowd waiting on the other side of the gates. "Time for me to try to put some positive spin on this." Tenney grunted. "Lots of luck." As soon as the guards swung the gates open, the reporters swarmed around him. Dan knew what their questions would be. They were always the same after an accident. "Do you know what caused the crash? Does this mean your project is finished? What are you going to do next?" He spread his arms to quiet them, then said in his clearest, most authoritative voice, "We have the best investigators in the world working to determine what went wrong with the space plane. At this point in time, all I can tell you is that there might have been a fault in the control system. Will Astro Corporation be able to continue the solar power satellite project? We intend to. But our information is that you're broke." "Not quite." Dan gave them a rueful grin. "In fact, we've already had an offer of funding to carry us through the next couple of years."
"An offer of funding from who?"
"I'm not at liberty to say," Dan replied, silently asking Sai Yamagata to forgive him. The questions went on, many of them repetitious. Dan thought of himself as a swimmer in the middle of the ocean, surrounded by sharks who were circling, circling, smelling his blood in the water. At last, Tenney broke in.
"Hey, we've got a plane to catch, boss."
Dan nodded vigorously.
"That's right.
Sorry, people. If you need anything more, you can call my office at Matagorda." The reporters grudgingly backed away, while Dan, with Tenney and Adair at his side, half-sprinted to the rental car they had picked up at the Taos airport. When they arrived at the airport, though, Dan was surprised to see another reporter waiting for him on the concrete apron where their plane was parked.
"I'm Vicky Lee," she said, sticking out her hand before Dan could say a word. "Global Video News."
She was almost Dan's height, with a generous figure that edged close to being plump. What do the Jews call it? He asked himself. Zaftig. Not quite voluptuous, but good-looking enough to be a news anchor someday, Dan thought. If she skinnies down a little. Not as young as she dresses, though, he told himself as he took in her snug jeans and loose-fitting pullover sweater. Heart-shaped face that dimpled nicely when she smiled. Chestnut hair cut short and spiky. Eyes the color of sweet sherry wine. "How do you get out here before us?" Dan asked as he took her extended hand. Her grip was firm. She's been practicing, he decided. Vicky Lee smiled brightly.
"I ducked out of the crowd at the cemetery early. Their questions and your answers were pretty predictable, actually."
"Uh-huh," said Dan. He saw Adair and Tenney clamber up the ladder and disappear inside the Cessna.
"I figured I could get better information out of you by myself, without the rest of those Twinkies and Bozos pushing at you."
Despite himself, Dan grinned. "Okay, here I am. You've got about 10 minutes, max." Her eyes flashed, but she quickly reached into her handbag and pulled out a miniaturized video camera. Dan unconsciously squared his shoulders and tugged at his jacket to make certain it didn't gap. "I must look pretty ragged," he thought, "but what the hell? I've just come back from a good friend's funeral."
"Mr. Randolph,"
Vicky began, looking at him through the camera's eyepiece,
"is there any truth to the rumor that you and Hannah Ahrens were having an affair?"
Dan felt as if she'd hit him in the gut with a monkey wrench. "What is this, a tabloid smear job?" She put the camera down.
"Actually, I'm on the utterly boring financial news desk."
"Then what the hell are you trying to do?" Perfectly calm, she replied.
"I'm trying to get a story, Mr. Randolph. My boss thinks Astro's about to collapse. But I've heard that you and your test pilot were sleeping together."
"Well, you heard dead wrong," he snapped angrily. "Hannah was a married woman with a 10-year-old daughter, for double damn sake. She and her husband had a fine marriage, and she didn't sleep with me or anybody else except her husband."
"Really?"
"Really. And what kind of an idiot do you think I am, sleeping with an employee?" She shrugged.
"But the rumor is out there, Mr. Randolph. Maybe you should allow me to put it to rest."
He shook his head. "I'm not going to dignify a piece of crap like that. No comment at all."
Her expression turned impish.
Not even to deny it?
Dan stared at her. You're enjoying this, aren't you?
Righteous indignation always tickles me.
Son of a bitch, Randolph muttered.
You may have noticed,
Vicky said,
that I turned off the camera several moments ago.
So?
So I'm not here to smear you or Mrs. Ahrens or anyone else. I'm merely trying to get a story.
He planted his fists on his hips and told himself to calm down. Play her right or she'll do a hatchet job on you. Adair stuck his head out of the Citation's cockpit window.
Should I start cranking her up? He called.
Dan gestured for him to wait without taking his eyes off Vicky Lee. What kind of a story are you looking for? He asked her. She didn't hesitate an eye blink.
One that can get me off the damned financial desk.
I'd really love to work for Aviation Week.
That's setting your sights pretty high.
Why not? I'm worth it.
Really?
Really and truly, Mr. Randolph.
Jabbing a thumb toward the plane, Dan said,
Okay. You want to fly back to Matagorda with us? We can talk without interruption for a couple of hours.
She broke into a wide smile.
My bags are in the car. I've got to drop it off at the rental office.
Dan started walking beside her toward the burgundy Corolla. I'll get somebody to drop off the car for you.
Can you?
Sure, no problem. Always happy to cooperate with the news media. He laughed, wondering how cooperative she would be with him. Countdown to launch. Very, it turned out. Once they landed at the company airstrip on Matagorda Island, instead of taking Vicky to his own one-room apartment halfway down the hangar catwalk from his office, Dan drove her to the Astro Motel, a few miles away from the airstrip.
A Jaguar convertible,
Vicky said, impressed, as he tossed her luggage and his own battered travel bag into the trunk. 10 years old, he gruffed as he slid in behind the steering wheel. I spend more time under the chassis trying to keep it running than I do driving her. Vicky nodded as if she thought he was merely making an excuse for an extravagance. The motel was legally owned by Astro Corporation, but operated quite independently by a local Calhoun County family who had gladly added the hospitality industry to their generations-long business of renting fishing boats and guiding tourist hunters through carefully stocked safaris across Matagorda Island. Despite being less than 5 years old, the motel already had a slightly seedy, run-down look to it. The family who ran it was hardly ever there. They far preferred to take their profits to Las Vegas and hand them over to card dealers and slot machines. Vicky didn't seem to notice the motel's slightly tacky decor. She didn't demur when Dan registered her as a corporate guest and toted his own travel bag along with hers into the room. 2 queen-sized beds, same as every room in the place. They ate dinner together in the motel's restaurant. She hardly paid attention to the food as she pumped Dan for the story of his life. He thought that her indifference to the cooking was a good thing, considering its quality, while he spun out a carefully edited version of his days working in space for Yamagata and his goal of making the first working solar power satellite here in the United States of America. She seemed to take it for granted that they would sleep together. Dan had no objections. In fact, he worried that if he didn't have sex with her, she'd get sore. Hell hath no fury, he reminded himself. Besides, it had been a long time since he'd had a sexual romp. Months. Seemed like years. When Dan awoke the next morning, Vicky was still sleeping soundly beside him. He slipped out of bed and padded to the bathroom, wondering if this little tumble in the hay would help silence the rumor about him and Hannah or make things worse. Every time you think with your gonads, he berated himself, you screw nobody but yourself. As he looked back at Vicky's fleshy naked body entangled in the sweaty sheets, he laughed inwardly. And damned well, too, he added. Lifting his toiletries kit from the travel bag he'd left on the unoccupied bed, Dan closed the bathroom door softly and went through his morning shower, brushed his teeth, and started to shave. As he stared into the mirror at his lathered face, though, he thought of Jane. Haven't seen her in, what is it now, 5 years? No, damned near 6. And you're still thinking of her. Last night in bed with Vicky, he had fantasized about Jane Thornton.